The beginning of the Parshas Tazri of Yom HaShmini Mol Besar Ola. So we have the mitzvah of Mila as the given decline. So we know we have the mitzvah of Mila back in Parshas Lech Lecha by Avram Avinu. But again, we in Parshas Vayera. But again, we have it again given to all of Klal Yisrael here in Parshas Tazri. There's a Gemara in the Darim Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We have a Machlokas Tanayim. We have a Machlokas amongst Chazal regarding the pasuk in Yirmi and Perek Lamed Gimel. Im lo brisi yom v'layla chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti. If it was not for my covenant, my bris, and something about heaven and earth and day and night, then it would not stand forever. And the Gemara is unclear about the meaning of this pasuk. What type of bris are we talking about? What does that have to do with day and night and heaven and earth? So we have here a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Yezer. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that the bris that we're talking about here in the pasuk is referring to the bris of Mila, bris Mila. And he explains that no one engaged in mitzvos like Avram Avinu did, but he was only considered to be a perfect v'yeh tamim, v'salecha fana v'yeh tamim, v'yetzneb risi beinu v'necha. We only find Avram really be considered complete after he had a physical circumcision. And it's also great because Mila is connected to Shakul, has the same weight as all the mitzvos in the Torah, says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And again, if it's not for, as we see in this pasuk, im lo brisi yom v'layla, if not for the bris mila, we would not have heaven and earth. Heaven and earth would not stand if it was not for the bris mila that the Jewish people give to their sons. Comes Eliezer and disagrees and says, no, the bris in this pasuk is not bris mila, but rather it is the bris of Torah. It is the learning of Torah that keeps everything going. And he explains the pasuk as follows. Im lo brisi yom v'layla chuko shemayim v'aretz lo samti. If not for it, Torah, then heaven and earth would not last. That's what keeps the world going. The learning of Torah keeps the world sustained day and night. As Rechaim Volozhin writes in Shar Dal of the Nefesh Rechaim, that literally Torah keeps the world going every single moment. So there's a tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eger in Madura Kam and Simon Mem Beis, where he discusses this machlok between Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Eliezer. And he asks on Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in the following way. Doesn't it make more sense that the pasuk is referring to Torah? Why? Because the pasuk says in Yehoshua in Perek Aleph, "Vahagisa bo yomam v'layla." We learn Torah day and night. Wouldn't it make sense that there's a parallel between the learning of Torah day and night and the covenant of Torah that is learned day and night with the Jewish people? That really fits with the pasuk better. He says, on top of that, we know that bris mila is only observed during the day. We do not perform bris mila at night. If you do bris mila at night, you have to correct it later on during the day. And therefore, it would make sense that brisi, that the covenant, is the learning of Torah, which is day and night, not mila. Mila has nothing to do with yom and laila. Mila is only a daytime issue. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, what is Rabbi Nasi talking about? And how does this fit together with the pasuk at all? Now, this question, Rabbi Kiva Eger, he is not alone in asking this question. It's a question of the Rishonim and the Achronim as well. There's a piece from the Tosas written in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes, where the Tosas written answers and says that really Mila is not a time-bound mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah sase shazman grama, because the preparation of the Mila also can take place during day and night. And that's why the Gemara there has to have a special pasuk to exclude women from the mitzvah of Bris Mila, because technically one might say that it is time, not time-bound, and therefore even the preparation of Bris Mila is observed during the nighttime, and therefore it does make sense, the bris of Yom V'layla. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Ben Porat, in Simon Beis, says that the mitzvah of Mila is not to actually remove the orla. That's not the mitzvah of Mila. Rabbi Yosef Engel says the mitzvah of Mila is to be mol, is to have and walk around with circumcision. And therefore, the mitzvah of Mila does apply day and night, because as long as a person is circumcised, in every single moment he is fulfilling the mitzvah of Mila. It's not the action, but rather it's the chalos, the status of being a mol, that gives the person the mitzvah, and therefore it makes sense that the bris mila is day and night. But Rabbi Kiva Eger does not say that. He cites an explanation of the Tosas Yontif, who says that we're putting the comma in the wrong place, and really the pasuk does make sense. Im lo brisi, if it was not for the bris mila, then yom v'layla l'chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti, then heaven and earth and day and night would not exist. Or he might say, according to Tosas Yontif, the bris mila, which is on our bodies day and night, yom v'layla, that's what it's talking about. But Rabbi Kiva Eger rejects the Tosas Yontif because he says that's not where the comma goes in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't read it that way. Clearly something is going on day and night, and there's some greater connection here to bris mila and Talmud Torah. So he cites the Kli Yakar, not the Kli Yakar in his Perush on the Torah, but an earlier justice, the Kli Yakar wrote, called the Olos Ephraim in Maimer Shin Sadi Beis. And the Kli Yakar writes in a most beautiful fashion. And he says that Mil and Torah are interconnected to one another. They are linked together in their fulfillment of the mitzvah. The outward physical removal of the meal, of the process of bris milah, allows spirituality to enter into the person, allows ruchnius to sprout within the neshama of every Jew. A person cannot spiritually connect to Torah unless they have a bris milah. What bris milah does is that it's the opening, it's the pesach, it's the shar, it's the entrance and the gate that allows a person to connect to Torah. Without bris milah, a person is unable to really understand the greatness of Torah. It's not physically possible, it's not spiritually possible for a person to appreciate Torah without having a bris milah. And therefore, says Rabbi Kivager, the pasuk reads as follows: without the bris milah, there is no entrance into the Shari Torah that one can learn Yom V'Layla. That's what the pasuk means. Im lo brisi, Yom V'Layla chuko shemai v'arev lo samti. If without a bris milah, a person can't learn Torah day and night. You need to have a bris milah first, and then a person has the ability to learn Torah. And with this, Rabbi Kivager explains the Shita of Levush in Hilchos Mila in Reish Samachay, where Levush says, the brach of Lahachniso Berbiso Sha'avram Avinu, that we enter the child into the covenant of Avram Avinu, is not talking about Bris Mila. That's not what we're talking about there. That's not the covenant. The covenant we're talking about is Shmiras HaMitzos and Talmud Torah. The bracha we make by the Bris Mila is that now that we circumcise the child, he's ready, lahachnis bariso. He's now ready to learn the Torah of Avram Avinu. And therefore, says Rabbi Kivager, it makes sense perfectly with the bracha. And then he comes out, halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Kivager in his chuvas is not giving drashas for fun. This is all to get to a point. What's the point? The shaila was asked, can the grandfather make the bracha of lahachniso bariso shal Avram Avinu if the father's not there? And says Rabbi Kivager, the answer is yes. Because the bracha is not specifically tied to the milah itself, which is a mitzvah that's connected specifically to the father. The bracha of Lachniso Berviso Shal Avram Avinu is connected to the entrance of a Jew into the world of Talmud Torah. And that the grandfather is also shayach to. That the grandfather has to connect to his grandchildren and also teach them Torah. And therefore, it is applicable and appropriate for the grandfather to make the bracha of Lachniso Berviso Shal Avram Avinu. So says Rabbi Kivager. This is also similar to a tshuva cited in the Shach in Simon Shinhei and Yerodeya in Sifkat and Yudbeis regarding Pidgin Aben. The Shach wants to know, let's say the child was unable to have the bris milah on the proper day and was pushed off, and the first available time is on the day of the Pidgin Aben for this firstborn boy. What goes first, the Pidgin Aben or the bris milah? So the Shach quotes the tshuvas of the Ra'anach in Simon Ayin Tes. And he answers as follows. He says, Nira sheish lahakten mitzvahs hamila mishum dehamila hios hayikonis bedas vekabalas malchus yisparach alav. The bris milah goes first before the pidgin aben, because the bris milah allows the child to enter into the covenant and then fulfill mitzvahs and learn Torah. Vilmalei kabalas habris vikonis bebris avram avinu ein chiyuv lemitzvahs pidgin klal. If there's no bris milah, then there's no reason to talk about a pidgin aben, because you can't connect to the Torah unless you first have a bris milah. And then he quotes a medrash that says, "Kiblu malchusi v'achar kach kiblu gzerosai." First, you have to be makabel o malchus shemayim. First, you have a bris milah to accept Hashem as your king, and then you can go and learn the Torah and fulfill the mitzvos. Now, it's true not everyone agrees to this tshuva cited by the Shach. This is the tshuva of Chassam Sofer, the Ma'ari Asad, the tshuva Sabacha Chadashos. All different types of tshuvas disagree and say, no, certainly the pidgin aben should go first, because it's the mitzvah of the Shaiso, it's the mitzvah in its proper time, and that should come first before the bris milah. But the message of the tshuva cited by the Shach is true. The bris milah allows us to connect to Torah and to connect to mitzvahs, right? As we say in benching, al brischa shechasam to bivsarenu ve'al toras l'shumaratana. We have the two together, bris and Torah together, b'yachad, in one unit. Just to end with the fascinating Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Mishpatim, there it tells us that Unkelus or Akilus Hager, but depending on the girsa, depending on the version we have in Medrash Tanchuma, he wanted to convert to Judaism. And he didn't keep it, he kept it secret from his uncle Hadrian, because he was afraid that if his uncle found out, he'd be very upset with him. And there's a whole conversation about how he converted, and the whole process, and the people he spoke to. And at the very end, he tells his uncle that he converts to Judaism. And his uncle Hadrian is not very happy that his nephew converted to Judaism. And he asked him, why did you do this? So he said, because I wanted to learn the Torah of the Jewish people. So Hadrian said, but can't you also learn the Torah of the Jewish people without converting and without having a bris milah? So Unclus answered him, if you don't have bris milah, can't learn Torah. You won't understand it. Shneamar, Magid Dvarav Yaakov. Who's going to understand the Torah, Magid Dvarav? Those who are shaykh connected to Yaakov, who have the bris milah of Yaakov. Lo asakein l'chagai. It's not for the rest of the goyim. Yishum shehem arelim, because they don't have bris milah. Chukav zet Torah. This is the Torah. And this magnifies for us the importance of bris milah, the importance and the beauty of bris milah in connecting to Torah and our own limud Torah. And it should internalize for us an appreciation of mitzvah samilah and the connection between milah and the learning of Torah for us and all of Klal Yisrael.